This is Will's Band of the Week for June 30th, 2019.
Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey there.
And Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Oh, yeah.
Sounding crystal clear, up to satellite and back down, and everything works.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. I'll never cease to be amazed by that.
Right? Yeah, it doesn't seem like it should work.
There's no delay, you know? If this were being done for the first time in 2019... and somebody described what's going to happen, you'd think, okay, it's going to go up there and bounce back. Probably be a delay of about 5 minutes.
Yeah, like...
right? And then we'll have to edit it together to make it sound natural. but there's none.
Well, it's even more amazing when we talk to Nicholas, because, you know, it's literally he's upside down relative to us. You know, looked straight down through the floor. I mean...
Right, that's going to bounce off a couple of different satellites.
And it's really far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So here we are. Well, we've got fun stuff, right? As usual. Have we ever not had fun stuff? We always have fun stuff.
Always have fun stuff.
Yeah. So why don't we do this? I think there's been a lot of excitement in the world of sports, right? We like to give sports updates. You guys ready?
Let's go.
Okay. That ought to get everybody in the mood,
yeah,
right?
Totally. So, I mean, here in the United States, that just makes you think like, okay, it's almost tip-off for the basketball game, almost kick-off for the football game. Does that resonate with you, Craig, or is that just like random sounding?
It makes me think of dance music from the 1990s. I don't know.
Yeah, that. I mean, right.
That's probably what it is.
But it is. It's been. You know, repurposed as generic sports, get excited music here in the United States.
Right. So at least all the U.S. listeners right now are really excited.
Yeah, they're very excited.
Yeah. So while we were talking about the big match coming up between the United States and England in the Women's World Cup.
Right.
Soccer/football.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty exciting, right? I think.
It is exciting.
The more I watch these tournaments, the more I really appreciate the sport. You know, I think you have to, like, for a lot of Americans who've been raised on American football, and then, you know, they'll watch a soccer game and they'll be like, oh, this sucks, they never score, or, you know, people just complain like crazy because I don't know, I think it's a learned thing to follow a sport.
Right.
Yeah, I think we discussed this before, how an English person just can't understand that because... or European, or even a South American, probably, because we've just grown up with it. You don't.
Yeah.
No one, a British person would never say soccer or football is low scoring. It just doesn't even occur to you to think that,
right?
Because it's just your culture. You don't understand anything different. But then, by the same token, we would say American football is too slow, and it's too complicated. And you might say, well, no, we just don't see that. And it's just what it is. You can't criticize something for being what it is. And it's just always interesting that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, aside from the scoring, you know, I guess what I've observed is that there are moments of great tension, and that's what makes a sport fun to watch, right?
Right.
All these plays where they're just literally so close, and you know, your heartbeat gets going, and it's just great.
Right. And so much of the play is happening in the middle two-thirds of the field, then the pitch rather. When something is happening near one of the goals, you can just kind of feel a swell of excitement. And a lot of times, you know, it's difficult to you know, complete a pass and get a good shot off and stuff. And there's a lot of defenders in there, but sometimes something will open up and it's just like, oh my God, something might just happen right here.
Right.
And to me, like, those moments are more exciting than any shot I've ever seen in basketball, except for like a last second shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's going to shoot it and he made it or he missed it. Like, who cares? It doesn't really matter.
In the scheme of things.
But then in soccer / football, I mean, it absolutely matters every time.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a play, this happens a lot, where a goal is scored with the corner kick and somebody, you know, it goes off their head into the goal, right? Is that called a header?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm amazed that they can do that, that they can actually aim the ball with their head. When it's coming, when France scored against the United States, it was just this insane thing.
Right.
That part of it is you think, well, it's got to be just like random luck, but it happens enough that it's not really just random luck. It's like incredible skill.
Sure.
And they can aim their, I was talking to a friend recently, like he was saying, I wonder if they do like neck exercises to like strengthen their necks. Because they literally like thrust their head in the direction.
Right.
I can't believe it's people can do that.
Even more amazing to me is when a defender has the confidence to head the ball, you know, somewhere besides the net. And, you know, if you're trying to score, the worst thing that could happen is you don't score. That's not great, but you can get over that. But as a defender, to try to clear the ball with your head, hitting in a certain direction, if you do it incorrectly, you score a goal on yourself. And that's not good. That's very bad.
We don't want that to be happening. Yeah. So anyway, this is all leading up to a showdown between the United States and England coming up.
Yeah.
In a couple days. And we were thinking that we could have a brawl of some sort, but we haven't really figured out the proper format for it, for us to fight each other.
Well, the stakes are, the way I see it, they're this. If the United States beats England, everything's pretty much fine.
Right? Yeah.
But if England beats the United States, we might not have Craig on the podcast anymore.
Yeah, we might not be able to. It's just too uncomfortable.
This could be our last podcast together as friends.
Right.
We could still be co-podcasters. But.
That's true, I guess. We would just have to never...
We could be like Fleetwood Mac. You know, we just hate each other, but we'll just keep doing it anyway.
Right.
Because the audience
maybe
demands it.
Maybe that would make it better.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to respect other people's opinions anymore. Could be very exciting.
So I can't remember, Craig, did you tell us already about the Cricket World Championships?
Not on the podcast, but I think I spoke to you both privately.
Right, you mentioned
it. In pre-production, sorry.
Right.
Private conversation. There's no such thing. It's all pre-production.
Right.
Yeah, so this is happening in England right now. And at this moment, England is playing India. If England lose, they're going to be... I spoke to Will earlier and I said, with a bit of confidence, hubris maybe, I said, England will be in the semi-final. When you're here visiting the UK, they'll be there. But if England lose today, they might not be. So I shouldn't have been so confident about that. They haven't done as well as we expected, but we'll see.
If I went to a cricket match, I'd have to study or I would have no idea what was going on. But I suppose you could what the rules are. It'd be like when I go to a Shakespeare play. I have to study because I won't understand it at all. Even if I study it, I still don't understand it. But it takes a little, preparation.
Right.
So
cricket isn't liked that much, even in the UK. Nowhere near as much as football.
Mm-hmm.
But rugby... No, it is a fascinating, very much a team sport with individual moments, like baseball, I would say. It's usually one person against one other, but there's the whole, obviously the team is there and that's relevant.
So it's a series of one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, like baseball.
So turning to another sport, when I was in Scotland last year, I learned that rugby is really big there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a stadium in Edinburgh that's like 50-some thousand, and they primarily play rugby there.
Yeah.
So do you...
Yeah, definitely. Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and England too. It's the second biggest sport after football, I would think.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was just, pretty big. And I kind of don't know anything about rugby either.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard for me to watch. I just don't, I don't know. There's like the scrum and then the ball squirts out. It always has to go backwards, maybe. And then somebody grabs it and they try to run it. And I don't know.
Yeah, you can't pass forwards. I think that's the main difference with American football. You can kick it forwards, but you can't pass forwards.
Hmm. All these rules, so complicated. Yeah. That's why soccer is so great. Kick the ball into the goal. That's the rule.
It is easy to describe and to follow.
And then there's...
There are little things in there.
Yeah, there are a few other rules. Like tripping people is bad.
Can't use your hands.
Right. All right, does that cover the sports update?
I guess.
But baseball happening in London right now as well.
Yeah, it's the Red Sox against the Yankees, and yesterday the Yankees beat the Red Sox.
Hmm.
High score.
30-run game, 17-13.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The first inning was 6-6.
That's an absolute, that's a failure of pitching, I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. That never happens.
Like 17-13?
Yeah.
That might be like the highest scoring game of the entire year in Major
League
Baseball.
Almost for sure. Almost
like
for
a total
sure.
of 30 runs? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
And it was by 3 seconds or something, or 3 minutes, it was the second longest game ever between the two sides. I think it was 4 hours, 42 minutes. That's right, it was 3 minutes, not 3 seconds.
I've got a fun baseball trivia item I just thought of. In 1989, I ran the Boston Marathon, and I had a friend who was living in Boston. And as I was running past, I think it's Wellesley College, and all the college girls scream, so that's really cool. My friend met me along the course and informed me that the Brewers had beaten the Red Sox 18-1.
Wow.
Now, isn't that great, like,
that is
convergence
cool.
of things?
On Patriots yeah. Day. That's a big, right. That's a big baseball game for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Brewers killed them. That
yeah, they
so
destroyed
cool.
it. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
Brewers won last night, too.
They did win.
It's notable. It's like the yeah. second time in 10 days they've won, so.
They're still not, yeah. Yeah. Okay. There is a thing with the American sports leagues playing games on occasion in London, right? American football does that. Like, why
yeah.
does the NBA do that? Do they play basketball, a game there?
I know they've played in, like, you know, Mexico and China. They must have played in the UK.
Is it just...
Although I don't think anybody in the UK really cares about basketball very much.
I wouldn't think so.
No, is, not that much.
But why would they care about American football? Like, why... And I guess there's baseball. They don't play baseball there.
Like, if you were at that game, Craig, wouldn't you be explaining what's going on to everybody around you?
Well, I think a lot of people who are there are people from New York and Boston. Not everyone. Yeah. This is quite a large stadium, but
sure.
Tickets were yeah. so hard to get. I don't know. I don't know if people know. There are some baseball fans here. Maybe enough to sell out that stadium, but not many others.
But if baseball were on in a pub and you were watching, and
people would say, "Get this off! Get this off!"
Do they ever play?
What if it was the Brewers, though? Same reaction, or maybe?
Oh, the Brewers, they'd be okay.
Yeah.
They don't play Premier League games in Chicago, do they? Barrett, you went to that game, and that was just... What was that game that Tottenham played in Nashville?
Those are just like exhibition games.
Okay, well...
So, the way they have it set up, they couldn't really play... You know, one of the teams would have to give up a home game to play a game overseas. And
the way they do the...
schedule is so balanced.
The round robin, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's a good sports update. We like to keep the people updated on all kinds of things.
Yeah.
We're well-rounded people, right? So, all right.
Sports and music. What else have we ever talked about?
There's not really. That's about life right there. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back to one of our regular features. Craig has been on assignment once again. He's always on assignment. Like, if like a week and a half went by without a live report from Craig, I think that'd be another basis to have him in on probation or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the deal. Just like with David in Brooklyn, I mean, come on, right?
Right.
We need lots of live reports.
And happily, more things are coming to Ipswich. Deeper will be playing here in the autumn. Chicago's Deeper.
Right. You've been mentioning like these bands coming to Ipswich. Have you gone to any of these shows yet? Or are they all in the future?
The Stroppies is in 20 days.
All right.
20th of July. Then Deeper is October. There's some other bits and pieces in September as well. Not necessarily bands that we know yet on the podcast, but I'll go along and they're more UK names that are known on here. But if they're good, then I'll report back.
Have you been to the venue yet?
Yes, to see a band from Norwich. Now, what were they called? The name escapes me momentarily, but yeah, it was good. It's called The Smokehouse, and it's a square room, probably about as big as fourth bedroom studios. No, a little bit bigger. About 50 people could get in there. And then just to the side, there's a little bar with about 5 stalls, and they sell cans out of the fridge. Right, very nice.
Really? So really small?
Incredibly small, yeah.
That's cool, though.
What was his name? The guy from the Soft Boys. Is that who it is?
Robin Hitchcock?
Yeah, he played there.
Wow.
But he's always been noted to be... Well, that's how we knew about it, as you can imagine. 50 people. Yeah. He's a big name.
He's bigger in the U.S. than he is in his home country. I've always read that. It's kind of curious.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, he's very popular around here. He can come around periodically and people will go to his shows.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that that'd be a great name for a band. The name escapes me momentarily. That'd be the name of the band, yeah. Right? Just like
the name has come back to me. Sink Your Teeth, they're called. They're duo from Norwich. Pretty good. Electro sort of stuff. I don't know. I can't define it any better than that, but they're good.
You know, with this small club in Ipswich, it seems like you should own the place, Craig. You know, you're clearly the most prominent music fan in all of Ipswich, according to us, at least.
Yeah, I keep thinking about emailing the promoter and saying, have you considered booking this band, this band, this band? But it's a bit presumptuous. Let's assume they know what they're doing and let them get on with their job, and then I'll support it as best I can. I think that's the best way.
Yeah.
I think that your input would be valued, Craig. To be honest,
yeah.
Just that they think they're putting a lot of work into this, that they think somebody cares enough to reach out and offer some suggestions, I think would be heartening.
Well, like a good example, like what if a band like Patio or Grim Streaker were in the UK? You know, you could just give them a little tip. Right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
have these people at your club.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be so cool. Imagine Grim Streaker.
Yeah.
They'd tear the place to pieces.
Yep, I'm sure they would. So you have a live report, apparently.
Yeah, so just a little bit north of Ipswich is Stowmarket, a slightly smaller town. This is where John Peel used to live. And when he passed away, his wife invested some money or donated some money to convert an old church into the John Peel Arts Centre. It's a very cool little place. They have beer festivals and the wedding present play there at least once a year. I think it's in the contract.
Oh, that's cool.
That's exactly like David Gedge, sort of, you know, he likes to support. No, he's okay. He likes to support these causes. Mm-hmm. But we saw Jeffrey Lewis there. He's the troubadouring sort of folky guy from New York who I've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very gracious. He said, John Peel gave me my first break when I played a John Peel session back about 15 years ago, something like maybe 20 years ago. And he's a huge fan of The Fall, Jeffrey Lewis, and John Peel was, of course, as well. So yeah, he played a Fall cover, and that was all pretty cool. And it was just so great. You know, about 50 or 60 people there, maybe a bit more. It's a cool little place, and every time I see him, he just seems to be so amazing. He's an amazing lyricist and tells real stories in his songs. And how he can keep all of those lyrics for hundreds of songs in his head and just pull out song, song, song. And know the lyrics and never make a misstep is, I don't know how people can do it. Incredible brain.
Great. That's cool.
So he is one to watch out for if he comes. He's always touring. He comes to the UK twice a year. He tours the US twice a year. So he's always on the road.
We'll have to be on the lookout for him. Sounds great. So, well, awesome. And more to come, right?
Yeah.
Ipswich will be rock and roll capital before long. Indie rock capital. All right. Oh, I have kind of a mini live report. So here we'll do a little forecast. So on an upcoming episode, Craig and I will have a discussion about nostalgia, right? Remember that podcast that we already recorded that's coming out in 2 weeks?
Wow.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
So I had a nostalgia moment last weekend when So our band, our surf band, opened for this very small show with three bands. But the headlining band was the same guy who played in the band that played at our wedding reception 24 years ago. It was a super nostalgia moment. So, you know, he's still playing music. His band is a different band now, but he's got the same kind of vibe. And it was just like, Maya was sitting there and she said she was like getting teary eyed just listening to him sing.
Yeah.
You know, so that was great. Really cool. Fun time.
Nice. Yeah.
It was at the, I don't know if I've talked about this venue. Maybe I have. The Art Inn, it's called. And, Grant has played there a couple times. This is the first time I've played there, and it's like a big basement, just a big concrete floor. And
where is it?
It's on East Washington, right across the river, on the left side. If you're going out of town,
huh.
Right near like First Street, you know.
Right. So it's by like
old kind of warehousey building. There's also a little microbrewery pub called the Parched Eagle that's like in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either buy a beer from the guy, the Art Inn guy, who's this great big kind of scary looking guy, but he's actually a pretty nice guy, and or you can go next door attached to the Parched Eagle. So you got some beer choices. Yeah,
and they let you bring it in then to the other place?
There's this big sign that says, under no circumstances are you to take a beer into the Art Inn, but then they say if you have a plastic cup, you can. You might throw a glass at the band. Like, I could have had a glass thrown at me for the lack of performance.
Under no circumstances. Oh, you got a that's fine. Don't worry
but you know what's
that.
Great? If just one person likes your band, it makes you feel so good. So, like, I forgot if I had already told that story about Grant was playing, and this guy walked up to him afterwards and said, "Thank you for sharing your gift of music," and handed him a $20 bill.
Yeah,
it's like nice. That makes your day, right? So we had one person who one of our drummer overheard this person saying, "Hey, who's playing tonight?" And the bartender says to this customer, "Oh, the first band was this really cool surf band. I can't believe it was only their second gig." See, somebody liked
us.
Wow,
that's nice.
So there you go. You take
really
it.
Really cool.
You only need one fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like podcasting is kind of like that.
Yeah, we have about one fan.
We have, yeah. That's not true at all, but like the smallest little things. Whenever anybody sends a letter and, you know, it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yeah, and if they hate us, then that's, we also get like, feel bad. Like that guy that didn't like the Death of the Week.
Yeah.
That? He's probably not listening anymore.
I doubt it.
Yep. All right. We have a couple of, I was saying to somebody, I think it was David. Yeah. That we have two artists who could not be more different this week, right? We're showing our diversity.
Yeah.
I mean, true. Other than the fact that I guess they both have like cred in the indie rock world, but like, stylistically,
in English, but yeah,
yeah,
stylistically,
yeah. So we're gonna start with Black Midi, and I think they're from London. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So that means Craig should tell us all about them.
Oh, crikey! Well, this is good actually because I can say we were at South by Southwest together. I don't know if the listeners have we mentioned that before.
No, we've never mentioned that.
The question is, have we ever failed to mention it?
Right.
Since then, I don't think we have.
We were waiting for Black Midi to come on, or at least they were on, maybe, and we were hanging around.
Right.
The back of Cheer Up Charlie's, and this guy runs over. He's got a huge camera. He looks pretty cool, you know. I think if I see this kind of person, like, oh, that's an indie rock kind of cool guy. And he hears my accent. He says, he assumes, perhaps I know this. He's like, "Do you know this band? Do you know this band? Black Midi." And I said, "Not really. Oh, no one knows anything about them. They're very mysterious. And they look about 14 years old."
Right.
It's not meant to be. I'm not trying to criticize. You know, not being mean. It's true. They do look incredibly young.
Mm-hmm.
One of our co-podcasters described them in an unflattering way. I don't know if that can be repeated.
I don't know what that
they
was.
They sound like if a certain kind of disease was music, this is what it would sound like.
I think the two missing parts of that are diabetes and Chris.
Something like that. Maybe
really?
Cancer.
Hmm.
Anyway, but on a positive note, I listened to the album. I enjoyed seeing them when I saw them in Austin a couple of times, and I liked the album too. So Chris is out on his own on that one, at least where I could say.
Now, how did they come up with the name of the album that sounds like a made-up German word? Schlagenheim. That's the name of the album. Yeah. And I thought, I thought that must be a German word. I'm going to look that up. And you type that in, and all you get is the Black Midi album. So it's clearly a made-up word. So
yeah, Schlager is like, I don't know. Goldschlager is this kind of alcoholic spirit with pieces of gold in it. So that's the gold. Schlager is some kind of drink. I don't know. But then Schlagenheim, no idea.
Then there's a game called Hammerschlager, where you hammer nails in to a big log with a hammer.
What a fantastic game. Why isn't that the world championships?
it's kind of an American, like a niche American tailgate game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you take the first pick, Craig?
Well, I'm going to have to be cliched here, but I love this song so much. I think this is the mission statement, which opens the album. I can't not pick this, so it's going to be 9-5-3. Opening track.
Black Midi.
You can't.
Rock and roll. Yeah. Loud, thrashing, chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pose this question, though. Instrumentally and rocking-wise, it sounds so cool. But then, do you think that the vocals that come in are a welcome addition? You know, it's just, he's got a weird delivery, right? It's kind of hard for me to completely buy into. I don't know, I kind of just... Sometimes I find myself wishing someone else were singing or that they chose a different style, but it's very creative and cool in so many places.
Right.
So I feel a little mixed about it.
His willingness to do that is impressive.
That's
right?
True too. Yeah. Yeah.
In your surf band, what if you're, they're like, hey, did you ever hear Black Midi? Can you sing like that guy? I'd be like, I don't think I can do it. I'm not willing to do it.
So
give him points for that. And the first time I heard it, like when we saw him live, my impression was just like, oh, the guy's kind of like a Mark E. Smith type of a thing. So it did not sound like this. It was not this pronounced. And when I first heard this song, and then really the rest of the album, it was kind of bothering me a little bit. But the more I listened to it, the less it bothered me. And now I kind of like it, just because it's different, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely different, and they're definitely not, I don't know, they're doing what they want to do. They don't sound like they're playing for anybody else, really, which is kind of cool.
Right.
So I kind of feel like I should make the next pick, because I'm afraid Barrett is going to choose this song, so I want to get it pick it before he does. So, yeah, one of my favorites is, it's abbreviated in the spelling, but it's Near Detroit, Michigan, and they're talking about the bad water in Flint. I figured that much out. So,
all right,
let's play it. It's number 4.
That was going to be my pick. You were right.
I totally anticipated.
Beat me to it.
You couldn't resist that Detroit connection, you know? Right. And yeah, plus the song is good.
Yeah, it's a good song. And he doesn't use that. Well, maybe it's not even the same guy. I don't know. But I was kind of picturing it being the same guy and just singing.
Yeah, different, totally different style. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good.
So now I've forced you.
I like that.
I've forced you to go to your backup now, Barrett.
Okay. Well, we played one that was pretty hard. From Craig to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
This one was mixed, had a bit of the hard and a bit of the softer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pick the second song, which is definitely on their softer side. And I think what I really, really like about this especially is the drumming. And, you know, whenever you read about these guys, they talk about how amazing the drummer is. And
mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that I would have noticed that right away, but I can't be sure. But listening for it, you know, on the harder songs he's really pounding and blah blah blah, but on here it is so subtle and gentle and varied, and like you're just thinking, like you play drums a little bit, you might be thinking like, how did he think to do that? Because that's how I felt the whole time. Anyway, it's called Speedway.
City. Old buildings. much to live next to the game. New flats, new ground. Honey, we won't build this code. Honey, we won't build it. Honey, we won't build. Honey, we won't move the wall. Honey, we won't build this code. Honey, we won't build it.
Yeah, I agree. Great subtle drumming.
You know, and until you talked about the song Near Detroit, Michigan being about, you know, the water in Flint, I mean, now it seems kind of obvious, mm-hmm. but it didn't occur to me at all that any of these songs meant anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm looking at this one, trying to figure it out, and I think it might be about flooding in New Orleans, but I can't be sure. Talking about floodplains and building codes and, I don't know, maybe I'm reaching. Not that it hasn't flooded in London at times, I'm sure. So that could be, yeah. but...
Do you know what Speedway is?
Speedway?
Hmm. Is that a thing there?
Well, it sounds like a racetrack.
Yeah, it's a sport. A pretty unpopular, old-fashioned working-class sport, which is still happening in England today. There's a team in Ipswich, the Ipswich Witches.
Really?
You have a team of motorcycle riders, and they race around a track four at a time. 3 points for first, two for second, one for third, naught for fourth, and two players from each team. So Ipswich would be against Wolverhampton, for example, and you'd have two Ipswich riders, two Wolverhampton riders, and you have to go around. I think it's three laps. If anyone's a Speedway aficionado and I've got that wrong, I'm very sorry, but I think it's three or five anyway. And it's quite a short track, and they have, over the course of an evening, how many heats now? 15 maybe? Best of 15. And whoever has the most points after 15 races is the winner.
Hmm.
Pretty cool sport. It's all about the speed into the turn, I would say, because it's kind of a short track, like a running track, really, 400 metres. Maybe it's a bit longer than that for the bikes, but mm-hmm. very tight turns. And if you can take your speed into that corner and get the line right, then you'll be a good racer. It's very exciting.
That sounds like a pretty good format.
It does.
I think a strategy would be to just go as fast as possible. Wouldn't that be the best strategy?
Yeah, that would be good. A good idea. Don't fall off the bike is a good piece of advice.
You know, I don't know why that just made me think of this, but this is another sports update. Earlier this week, a Milwaukee Brewer, Ben Gamel, hit an inside-the-park home run. Did you see this, Barrett?
I heard the recap.
So that's a home run where you actually have to run around the bases. The ball does not go out of the field like the standard home run, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like hitting a triple, but you've hit. So apparently what happened is the fielder ran up and either like fell down or misjudged the ball, and then it went over his head. So the picture of the outfielder running toward the infield and the ball going behind him and like rolling to the wall. So that's the kind of thing you have to have for an inside the park home run. You have to have a lot of time, right?
Right.
But the trivia item was that they timed how long it took Ben Gamel to round the bases. And apparently it was like this, well, I don't know if it was a record or something, or somebody was like amazed at how fast he went around the bases.
Really?
So my friend asked me if I could guess how long it took. So I was trying to say, okay, 90 feet times 4 is 360 feet is about, what would that be? 320 meters.
Okay, let me
take
a guess.
But they got to go around circle. They got to go around. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I've got a guess.
Okay, what is it?
2 minutes. No, I think it would be like 15 seconds.
Yeah, I think it was 14 point something. So, but anyway.
Straight
yeah. Yeah. So, okay, the baseball update.
Yeah. You know, Prince Fielder hit two inside the park home runs.
No. He was big. Did. You wouldn't think he'd be able to run fast enough.
So. What you need is for the outfield to do something that borders on, that's so poorly played that it borders on being an error, but it is not an error.
Right, right.
Sometimes they once the guy's hitting third and rounding third, whatever, at the, then you know you don't need a, you know, like a bad throw is not going to be an error in that case. So, yeah, he did. He did two of them.
Interesting. Yeah, they're not that common. So, okay, that was a little supplement to the sports update. Have we sufficiently covered Black MIDI? I think you know I'm giving it a general positive. You know, and as we play it now and I listen to it closely, I really like it, and I think it's really creative and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just sometimes the vocals sound a little off the rails to me, but right. That doesn't kill the whole thing.
I like it a lot. I don't know. This year I've been listening to a lot of kind of slow and wistful things, and this really kind of knocked me out of that. And it's been a good change of pace. They're also coming to Madison in a few weeks.
Yeah,
playing for free at the Union Terrace, which will be really, really cool.
Oh my word! It's probably that'll be absolutely incredible.
Probably something that we need to attend, right?
Yeah. The only problem there is you will have, like, if they weren't there, there would be just a lot of people at the terrace. So when it gets super jammed, you're going to have maybe 20% of the people there to see the band, and the rest are just going to be, depending on what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's hard to, the band has a hard time connecting with the audience because so many people are just there because they went there after work to drink beer.
Yeah,
so
there already are going to be a lot of people there. Yeah. Yeah, but I haven't seen anything there in 2 or 3 years, so it'll be fun. And Grant's friends are opening for them, too.
Wow.
So, yeah. All right. Good. So now we're going to shift gears and show our diversity and talk about Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
I think he used to coach the University of Nebraska football team.
Yeah, that you know what? That's a common misconception. That was a different guy.
Oh, really? Yeah. God, I was thinking he was such a diverse
talent.
They
look the same, too.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually do. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got one of those Wikipedia pages where it says Bill Callahan, parentheses, musician. Right.
I work with a guy who has the same name as a former kicker for the Detroit Lions. So that's kind of fun.
Wow. Wait. Oh, no, I can't think of his name. He kicked for him for like 18, 19 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You're thinking of the same guy.
Not Murray.
Nope. Jason Hansen.
Jason Hansen. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's another Jason Hansen. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
There are
a lot of Jason Hansons in the U.S. and around, you know, it's a common name.
Right.
Midwestern name.
Same with Bill Callahan, kind of a common name. I mentioned Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. I was just on Wikipedia in the lead up to the show because realizing I'd have to introduce Bill Callahan, I didn't have any idea where he was from, you know, and I've been a fan for almost 20 years.
Well, you said you knew there was a Chicago connection.
And yeah, like, I mean, he's on a Chicago label, and he's kind of like, he might live there now. But he used to record under a name Smog, which at one point was in parentheses, and then he lost the parentheses, and then he just lost the moniker, and now he goes by his real name.
Was there a Golden Smog?
There was. That was different.
That wasn't anything to do with him?
No.
That wasn't a Bill Callahan side project?
No.
All right, because I remember Smog. I remember the name, and that was back in the 90s, right?
Yeah, he did. He's been recording since, I think, about 1990, and this is his 21st album.
Wow.
So,
whoa.
Yeah, pretty prolific. And his early stuff was all kind of lo-fi, and it's never gotten much beyond that, but it's kind of more traditionally recorded with, you know, instruments sounding, just more true to life and kind of professionally treated. So anyway, this is a double album, and it is called Schlagenheim. Nope, I'm sorry, that was the last one. It is called Shepherd in a Sheepskin Vest, and it's got 20 songs, and it's over an hour long, so it's really hard for me to listen to the whole thing at once, and I only did it twice, and one of the times I was in the car, and I fell asleep. I wasn't driving.
I was going to say, I hope you weren't driving.
No. So I passively heard it. One of the full times was a passive listen where I was literally asleep for a quarter of it.
Mm-hmm.
But broke it up into little pieces is kind of the way that I listened to it. And I guess that's enough of an introduction. We'll just play one of the songs here. I'm going to pick the song 747.
Flying through some stock footage of heaven. This is the light right here before clouds, bittersweetened with suggestion. This is the light, bald and bold as baby, crawling toward adulteration. Born and the blood was wiped from your eyes. This must be the light you saw that just left you screaming. And this must be the light you saw before our eyes could disguise true meaning. And this must be the light you saw just as you were leaving. On a mule, we walked on the moon, flaws in a jewel. We are flies on a mule, and we're good at what we do.
So, yeah, we promised something that was completely different from Black Midi.
And
Greg, did we deliver on that?
Yeah, you couldn't get further across
right
the spectrum, musical spectrum, could you?
Yeah, what I've always really liked about a couple things about Bill Callahan or Smog is like his voice is just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, you know, it is very unique and very what do you say charismatic, like, or something, or something.
Yeah. And I read somebody describing it saying that it was at the same time kind of like almost it could scan as like dead and emotionless to somebody, or you know, full of emotion and subtlety and whatever. So I'm kind of in the latter camp. But yeah, it's just kind of like it's almost like a deep croak sometimes. I really like.
Yeah. When I was listening to this, I was thinking I would like to hear how Nicholas would describe it, because it seems like,
yeah, he'd be the one.
It begs for a description of like what kind of vibe it gives off, you know?
Yeah. It does not give the vibe of a bunch of hobos around a, maybe it does, around a garbage can filled with like a flaming garbage can. wait a minute. Yeah, that is exactly what it does. It conjures that up for me. But most of his other albums are a little bit funnier than this. And I hesitate to use that word funny, because that does not sound like a good thing when you're talking about music, but I don't know.
Well, they always describe him as a storyteller.
Yeah, he's a storyteller. So he's kind of like cracked stories that are a little bit weird and funny for their weirdness. And here in this one, you know, he's the same age as I am. And this album is, he recently had a kid, and just kind of about growing older and being a dad. And so he's just a lot more wistful. And the songs are never really like, you know, you can't read along with it and be like, that's what he's talking about. You kind of have to spend some time with the lyrics and be like, what does he mean by this? You know, like when he says that, you know, like being on Earth, we are like flies on a mule. Like, how and like, what is he saying about that? So, you know, I didn't have time to really immerse myself and spend one session of sitting down with the headphones on and reading along as the whole thing goes by. But I think that's really kind of what this thing is for.
And that's the best thing about lyrics showing up now on the streaming services. Like Apple Music will have lyrics for a lot of things, sometimes not. But when they do, it's kind of cool, right? It's
kind of really
fun.
Like
I occasionally actually will listen and read along with the lyrics.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we've been really good at stealing each other's picks, and you just stole mine. It was payback for the near Detroit, Michigan pick.
I guess.
So the best I can do now would be just kind of be random. So do you want me to pick a random track, or do you want to just pick a couple more, Barrett?
You can pick it. Go ahead. Pick something at random.
You find one that has an interesting title, and you play that, right? So
always a good policy. I endorse that.
I think let's play one in the middle here called What Comes After Certainty.
True love is not magic, it's certainty. And what comes after certainty? A world of mystery. I stood on the surf in Kauai while my love videoed me on honeymoon. The passenger is the driver in ecstasy. God's face on the water though plain to see, still hard to read. Well, I never thought I'd make it this far. Little old house, recent model car, and I got the woman of my dreams, and an imitation Eames.
Bill Callahan.
Yeah, rocking.
Yep.
It's wonderful. I'm just sitting here listening on the headphones, and the wonderful voice, most simple music you could imagine. Oh, wonderful combination.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's basically just his voice or whether maybe how they recorded it has a bit of an effect, but it sounds like he's right next to you, sort of, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
It's immediacy of right. the sound. So how big is Bill Callahan in terms of like audience? Could he come and play the coffee shop?
Or? Oh, no, he's way bigger than that. I mean,
he'd get a couple
he's
hundred
playing
people.
Talia Hall. Next week, and he got it. You know, he got Best New Music in Pitchfork last week.
Okay, so even in Madison, you at least draw a couple hundred, maybe.
Yeah, I saw him probably in 2005 at the Annex, and it was there were a lot of people there. So, if you want to think about like a festival poster, he'd be, let's see, if the top is 100 and the bottom with the small type is a 0. I'd say he'd be in about the 60 range.
All right. Definitely too big for the coffee shop then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty big here. He'll come every 2 or 3 years and play 2 or 3 London, Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh.
Okay, well, like...
Playing big venues, 1,500. Can I come? 1,000 people, I think.
I have to apologize for even suggesting that he could play at the coffee shop.
Welcome it if he's listening. I did not mean to slam the door on that possibility.
He might like the intimate setting.
Totally.
The welcoming hosts, of course. He'd be very speaking very
highly.
Yeah,
we'd welcome him with open arms. Yep. Literally, we would open our arms.
I bet you would even give him a tall can of Bell's Two-Hearted Ale.
Yeah, right? Or whatever he wants.
10% off a coffee.
Right. With the purchase of...
With another purchase of the waffle. Yeah.
What if his agent got in touch and said, we're really going to need 20% off that coffee?
Well, you got to play hardball because pretty soon everybody wants that. And
that's a good point.
You know, so
it's not worth it just for one person to sacrifice your entire principles.
No. Yeah. You've got to have some standards.
Yeah. All right. Should we play one more?
Sure.
Let's play the whole album. Just sit here and enjoy it together.
Let's play. You know, one thing I really like about this album is, you know, for the first song, it's called Shepherd's Welcome. And, you know, one of the last lines is like dreaming about a black dog on the beach. And then the second song is called Black Dog on the Beach. And at the end of the fourth song, he's basically saying like, okay, that's the last of one of these sort of, I don't know if obtuse is the word I'm looking for, but kind of like, what are these songs about? Now I'm going to get, this is going to be much more literal after this. And he's singing that at the end of the fourth song. I just really like it. It's kind of like leading you through the album, but that song is kind of a good one. It's called The Ballad of the Hulk. And do you guys know, you guys have the Hulk in England, right?
Oh, okay. You won't like him when he's angry?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So this one is kind of about him.
I've been looking back. At the old ways. Over my shoulder. Like salt. Oh, sugar. I'm just talking about the old days. Groundwork. Footwork. Well, after this next song, we'll be moving along. Out of this vein. It's called The Ballad of the Hulk. You know, I used to share a tailor with David Bruce Banner. Traveling jackets and traveling bags, future rags. The shoes good for walking highways, but never quite far enough away to see how good.
Bill Callahan.
Whoa.
A little thunder there. I wonder if that came through. Yeah.
So, then he goes on to kind of talk about how maybe he should have been a little bit more like that, get angry. But, I don't know. It's just kind of, you know, I like it. I like it a lot. And I'm going to need to spend a lot more time with this album before I can kind of properly put it into the context of how I like it compared to the other ones. But... Mm-hmm. Generally, I really like it, and it's just a lot more, it's more personal and more wistful. And, there you go. So if that's your thing, check it out.
All right. You just bumped it above $0.
All right.
Yep. It was hovering right near the $0 mark. You bumped it over.
Good.
So
you can't cut that part out then.
No, no. I got to leave everything in. Well, we never made any mistakes today, so.
Well, there was the time when I was like going to name the album and I couldn't decide whether to look through my bifocals or trifocals at your computer away.
You weren't supposed to admit that, though, because it'll be a flawless editing job. Yeah. No one would have known.
Well, now you can cut this part out.
Yeah, I could do that, too. Yeah.
The listeners like Barrett, warts and all. They like the truth.
Yeah, the imperfection is part of Barrett's charm, you know? Because you think that he's perfect, but he's actually not. He's a human being just like the rest of us.
Oh, okay. Okay, you recovered there. I didn't like where that was going at all.
I clarified it enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we should probably stop recording. I have to edit this and get myself out of town. So
let's get a baseball update. What's the score, Craig?
Oh, the Yankees have just gone. There was a two-run double there. Oh, that David Price has just been taken out. We're in the top of the seventh. So there's one out, two on, top of the seventh. Yankees leading 7-4.
7-4.
Wow, getting a lot of runs in this series.
David Price did not look very happy being taken out there.
They're establishing their New York dominance, right?
Yeah, so they're doing well, aren't they, the Yankees, this season? 55 wins or something?
Craig, I know you've been to New York a lot. Have you been to Boston?
Yes, a couple of times.
So do you have a a rooting interest here? Do you care who wins?
I hate the Red Sox more than any other baseball team.
See, the Red Sox, they've only been like one of these big, huge, budget, dominant teams, seems like, for the last 10 years or so. Before that, they were kind of...
Yeah, maybe there, like there 20 years, but
maybe
yeah.
Maybe 20, yeah. And you didn't have to hate them, you know? So I've kind of grown more to dislike the Yankees having just a double budget of everybody else, but I know that's not the case anymore.
And they haven't won the World Series in a long time.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Yankees.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I don't have a strong opinion at all, but historically, I would have preferred the Red Sox.
You know when baseball was the best is when I was 12.
Yeah.
Honestly, though. The old American League East, when you had the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Brewers and the Tigers and Indians, it was like the money just that it was nothing that was ever talked about or thought about, you know?
Yeah.
And New York did not have a built-in advantage over Milwaukee or Baltimore, and it was so much better back then, you know? I suppose English football is kind of like that too, Craig.
Yeah, a lot of people a little bit, I don't know. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, aren't they? People who love it, good for them. I'm not going to say they're wrong at all, but there are people who are really disaffected with how much of a role money has to play, and the VAR is absolute shit, and people are a little bit annoyed about that. And there's a growing-ish movement to go and watch non-league football, which is, you understand, it's equivalent of going to see AA or AAA baseball, except that the teams aren't affiliated with larger teams. So it's the same league system. They could, in theory, get to the Premier League, these teams. And of course, they never will because they're playing to 10 people at a local sports field, you know. But people go and watch that. It's more pure. There's no TV replays and this money doesn't come into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All right. I kind of got to get rolling for scheduling reasons. So we're going to play the outro, but we'll say goodbye before that. And so we're going to talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.